Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call right now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC, or 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are talking about Jesus Christ this Christmas season. In the book of Hebrews, the writer starts out his wonderful letter, his dynamic letter, with these words: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe.
Wow, yeah.
It's a pretty powerful statement. And Andrew, we welcome you to the broadcast today. And what in the world does this passage mean, that God is now speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ?
Yeah, well, in the Old Testament, Bob, you know, you just had so many voices. You had many, many prophets and many teachers and many people who knew the Lord who were proclaiming things about him. And then after all of that, after the law and after the prophets, after people like Moses and all those that followed him, Isaiah and Jeremiah and many, many prophets of the Old Testament, now you've got this greater message. You've got this more, you know, it's founded on better promises. It's a superior message. And the book of Hebrews goes on to say that basically because Jesus is greater than the angels, and because Jesus is greater than Moses, and because Jesus is greater than anyone that ever came before him, then the message that he brought is also greater. And, you know, here at Basic Gospel, that's what we're talking about, this message. Greater. It's called the New Covenant. Jesus brought it in. Jesus was the mediator of it. And it's through him that we enjoy all the benefits of a greater message.
Yes, indeed. And he is the message, Jesus Christ himself. You know, so many folks are looking for philosophies and those sort of things out there in life. But Jesus Christ stands kind of in the midst of that and says, "Come unto me."
Yeah.
I love what Augustine of Hippo said. I have read in Plato and Cicero sayings that are very wise and very beautiful, but I have never read in either of them, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden."
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the one that said that. He said, "Come unto me." He stands head and shoulders above everyone else, and in him we can truly find rest for our souls. That's why his message is the message of hope and salvation and forgiveness and mercy for all who are longing for those things. And that's all of us, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody.
Hurting.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just going to say, I mean, we're hurting as people by nature. We show up hurting. And you know, what's so amazing is to think about the Son of God and how he intersects with our pain. A lot of people, even especially this time of year, we become acquainted with our pain, whether it's difficult relationships with relatives or hard times or loneliness. We struggle with these sort of things. And, you know, what is so important is for us to see how Jesus himself intersects with our pain and offers us hope and answers. And that's what's so unique about Christianity. You know, you could always have a religion or a movement, but you're right, Bob, that this person, Jesus Christ, he's really the answer, and he's the answer to our troubles and anything that earth throws our way.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. We're glad you've joined us today. We have plenty of open lines. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-32-BASIC. Plenty of open lines right now. Calls beginning to come in. But still plenty of room for you, plenty of time on the clock for us to address your question on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Calgary, Alberta, to Miles, listening to us on the internet today. Hi, Miles.
Hi, gentlemen. Nice to talk to you again. Today, I was wanting to talk to you about the necessity for legalism in the world, as opposed to ourselves who are believers in Christ being liberated from legalism. It does, however, still play a very important role. And what I was thinking of is the fact that other people's worldviews will seem like nonsense to us. Similarly, their non-believers' view of Christianity will seem to be nonsense to them. And an example is, I was recently listening to a presentation by a person who's now deceased. His name is Joseph Campbell. Are you familiar with him?
I have heard of Joseph Campbell, yes. I'm not very familiar with his work, but I do know him by name.
He wrote a book, I gather, called The Power of Myth, and he was featured often on PBS. And I listened to recordings of his worldview, and I was thinking, you know, at one time I might have thought, oh, that's really interesting, and being drawn to it, but now, as I listen to it, it makes no sense. It's not logical. Yet millions of people are, you know, gushing over his philosophy and fawning over the man and his message.
Well, Miles, what's your question on this?
I guess the question is that in order for us to talk about worldviews when we have such profound differences with others, we really have to be legalistic in the way that we communicate, in that we have to have very set rules for debate and interaction and essentially follow rules of order, which are very legalistic. So, and I was wondering if, you know, when Christ was challenged, tempted to jump from the cliff, and he said, well, if I fall, don't tempt angels, lest I strike my foot on stone, thinking that stone is also what the tablets and the law were written on, and is there a connection with that and legalism?
Well, Miles, thanks for your question today. Andrew, what do you think about Miles's question?
Well, you know, first, you know, it seemed like at the beginning of the question, Bob, we were talking about the role of the law, or at least the role of what he's calling legalism in the world. And I think it is important to say that the law did not die. We Christians died to the law, but the law did not die. Jesus said neither a jot nor a tittle of the law would pass away until heaven and earth disappear. So the law is still here, and it serves a function. It can show people their need for Jesus. And of course, if some people would say, well, wait a minute, you know, I'm not Jewish, so how could the law still serve a role? Well, Romans tells us that, you know, for the Gentile, there is the law or the requirements of the law that are seared or inscribed on our conscience. And so we show up on planet Earth with some sense of right and wrong, and some sense that we're really, if we're honest, that we are accountable to God. And so we don't want to do away with the law. That's wrong thinking. The law is still alive and present, and it's a tool, and it serves a purpose. But we Christians are dead to the law. Now, you know, in the second part of the question, it kind of sounded like we were talking about rules of engagement or something with arguing with other people or discussing matters. And, you know, I mean, to me, that's a separate topic. And Bob, maybe you want to weigh in on that. But it just sounded to me like he was saying that we have, you know, we want to systematically communicate with other people. I'm not sure that legalism is the right word for that, but maybe you want to weigh in as well.
Well, I think as far as communicating and engaging with the lost world, I think our, you know, we present Jesus. Jesus is the message, and we talk about him. We entertain the questions that they pose. We don't shy away. We don't shrink from those questions. We don't just toss them aside as if they're meaningless. We want to provide the world real answers to their real questions, and the gospel does that. And so I think we can engage with confidence, knowing that the gospel message does have an answer. But I think when we engage with the world, we want to do so with a spirit of gentleness, with a spirit of kindness, and we want our words to be seasoned with grace. That's how we engage with the culture. And I think when folks see that, they see that people truly believe this gospel message. As we've talked about all week, you know, as the world looks in on Christianity, one of the things that they're appalled with, as far as Christians is concerned, is they give lip service to the message, but they don't act as if they really believe the message that they are communicating. So when we are able to engage the culture in a winsome manner, when we are to engage the culture with this confidence that we truly believe and we're living out this gospel message, then I think they will take notice. So that's how I would answer that, Miles. We sure appreciate your question today.
Yes, we do, and plenty of open lines. 1-844-322-2742 or 844-32-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to June listening to us in Monterey, California on KDIA. Hi, June.
Let's do go to Monterey.
Hi. How are you all?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm doing very, very well. So many years I've called in about the fractures in our family, and I just wanted to share with you, Andrew was just talking about the advocacy we have with Jesus, and through this past year, what he's done just in our relationship as a couple. We're married 43 years without anybody else, without any counseling at all, just falling as my husband being my first advocate here in the home, but Jesus being my first advocate, period, and our advocate. We haven't needed anybody in the things that he's done. Just amazing. There are still many things needed to be done with our relationships with our extended family, etc. But it just worked a miracle. And one of my questions was in the CDs that I ordered on Stand, Andrew, I think it was you that talked about how you didn't think that it, in the end times this would be a way that is found by so many people. It's going to be few that find it and all that. And I tend to agree with that. I'm just wondering, are there many people that don't have to go through the wasted years that some of us Christians have wasted? And do they just come into knowing the Lord, you know, grace without having to, you know, pay that awful penalty? I don't know if that's...
Basically there is an idea floating around out there, even in grace circles, that you've got to be broken first, that you can't understand this message until you're broken or until you've gone through enough troubles. And what I would say is, you know, that's a little bit dangerous because, you know, you're going to then limit yourself and limit your ability to get to know Jesus because you're waiting for some troubles to hit, or you've suddenly got your focus on brokenness instead of your focus being on Jesus Christ. And so, you know, what I would say is that, sure, you know, in a ministry like Basic Gospel or in a church like we have in West Texas here, you know, a lot of times we're going to encounter people that have been through a whole lot of religious turmoil. They've been through Galatianism. They've been trying to earn favor with God, and they burn out on that. And then suddenly, like never before, they understand the gospel and they crave the grace of God. But then you turn right around and look at youth groups, for example, full of teenagers who are learning this message before they ever struggle, before they ever go out on their own and hit planet Earth and have troubles. They're learning this message at an early age. And I've seen some of those kids grow up and get married and start life and have children. And, you know, what I would say is that this message of the basic gospel is equipping human beings, no matter where they are in life, no matter what age or what difficulties they've had. God uses the New Covenant message to equip us, and we need to really keep our eyes on Him and not feel like we need to have the same story. You know, your autobiography, June, is very different from someone else's autobiography, and every story is different. And so we just fix our eyes on Jesus, and that's the real focus we need.
Okay. And also, I just wanted to mention, as far as you had someone, Bob, on the program that was in the financial management of your firm, and he was taking questions that day. One of my questions was a couple of years ago, I was able to, there was a giving arm of your ministry through Metro Bible Fellowship, where if you had points, reward points, on mine was American Express at the time, and you were listed and you could donate your unused miles as a contribution to base, at the time it wasn't called that, but I'm wondering if you still have that and if people are even aware that they can use, say they have Visa cards that credit them back for reward miles, they can use that credit to donate to the ministry. I think it's a wonderful way of giving, you know. And,
well, June, thanks for reminding us about that. We do have quite a number of ways that people can give. You know, for example, we have an association with Amazon Smile,
yes.
smile.amazon.com. So anything that you buy through Amazon, they will donate a portion of that back to Basic Gospel. And I think we have some other programs. Let me put you on hold, June, and we'll get some information. And I'll have Vivian or one of our other folks here on staff contact you and let you know.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, June. I appreciate
Merry
that.
Merry Christmas, and congratulations on the longevity of your marriage.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, June raises a great question in here. Well, this time of the year, December is such an important month for us. 25% of contributions for the entire year come in the month of December. And we need your help and we need your support. And, you know, we want you to join with us to help us connect people to the love of Jesus Christ and to engage them in this discipleship process of hearing, believing, and living out the good news in their day-to-day lives. Yeah. Your investment is an investment in the power of the gospel to do in us what only Jesus Christ can do in us, and it's an investment in the lives of people, not only here in America, but really the world over. So stand up, rise up to this wonderful mission, join with us, help others get connected to the love of Christ.
And you can do that by going online and clicking the support link in the menu there at basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net. Click the support link, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk with Beth, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you guys today?
Doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I actually have a question that has to do with the history of early peoples. Ironically, I'm teaching this at the moment with my students, and we just went through the Hittites and the Kassites and the Assyrians and the Chaldeans, and I was trying to explain to them that these are groups of people that are also written about in the Old Testament, which is the next unit that we're doing on religions of the world. And I was just wondering, from my own knowledge, if you could either point me to a resource or maybe you can answer for me. I'm wondering why God had allowed for the early peoples to have worshipped many gods and not made himself known prior to the Jewish people when they come on the scene in our history of, you know, early peoples. Does that make sense?
Well, the knowledge of God has always been here. I mean, God created. There was Adam and Eve in the garden who they walked with God, and then sin entered the picture. But sin kind of changed our view, jaded our thinking about God, and that's when folks started worshiping what they made up in their own mind as other gods. But God has never let his name not be known in this world. I mean, his presence has always been made known in human history, and the Bible records that. We see that in every generation. So God's name has always been here. Sin has just diverted man's attention to themselves, and so we form and fashion gods in our image. We try to worship those gods, as if they're something important, and oftentimes we do to assuage our own guilt. But that's not the way. The way is by grace through faith, and that's been made known to us in Jesus. Andrew, what do you think about that question?
Yeah, well, I mean, you take the Hittites, for example, the Hittite religion. I mean, you know, that was an area which today we would, I believe, call Turkey. And, you know, you look back and they were worshiping stones. They had certain stones that they would carve or shape into a certain shape, and then they would look at those as sacred stones, and they would have images of deities made out of stone. It kind of reminds me of Romans when it says, you know, we've turned away from the Creator and we're worshiping the creation. And so, you know, you say, well, you know, that stone over there, is that God? Well, no, wait a minute. I know who dug that stone out of the ground and began to sand that stone down and shape it into an idol form. And so how could that be God if I know the guy who was shaping that stone at one time? And so there's something intuitive there, I think, that's built in us that we need God and we want God, but sometimes things get twisted and we pursue God in the wrong way. But I would agree that, I mean, if God is Creator and God was present at the beginning from Adam and Eve, and the Bible tells us that we have an understanding of God through his invisible attributes being displayed through creation, then whosoever really calls upon the Lord of all, and whosoever really calls out, hey, the God of this universe who created this world, I want to know you, not some stone, but I want to know you. I believe God honors that, and he's powerful enough to chase anybody down and lead them to an understanding of him.
Well, Beth, what I would suggest as far as two passages to look at, Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18 through the end of the chapter, it talks about God's eternal attributes being made visible in the world, and that's from the beginning all the way through now. And also Acts 17, that chapter is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, and it talks, Paul is talking with Greek philosophers, and he's making the case for God as revealed to us in Jesus Christ. And he gives some very profound insight into the whys and wherefores of us, you know, why we came into the world at this particular time, at this particular place. What was God's purpose in that? And I think that will be beneficial to you, and particularly as you teach these classes. But Beth, those are two chapters I think that will be helpful to you. But thanks for calling. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. You hang on. Well, Al called just a minute ago and asked about the Ten Commandments in the Old Covenant, and what is the role of the Old Covenant? What is the role of the Ten Commandments? Are we to live by those Ten Commandments today? Or did they have another purpose spiritually, as far as we as believers are concerned? Are we Old Covenant folks or New Covenant folks?
Yeah, you think about what Romans says. Romans says that the coveting law caused coveting of every kind when Paul was under it. And that's one of the Ten Commandments. And then you go over and you look in Corinthians, and Paul says that the law that was engraved on stone, which is the Ten Commandments, he says it's a ministry of condemnation and death. So as we look into Romans and Corinthians, we find an answer that's very different from popular religion today. Popular ideas today would say, hang on tightly to those Ten Commandments. They are your guide. But the Bible actually says that today, under the New Covenant, Jesus Christ is our guide, and his Spirit in us is enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for that, Andrew. We appreciate your participating in the broadcast today, and always. Friends, if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, if it's made a difference in your life, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And for sure, during this year-end time, please consider Basic Gospel in your giving to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find a support link at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC. Well, we invite you to be with us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, God bless you, and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.